Yes, I am learning to live. Every day I'm learning. I'm learning to live. Yes, I am learning. I'm learning to live. Oh, Jesus.
I'm learning to live.
Yes, I'm learning to live. Yes, I am learning. Yes, I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Then I am finding, yes, I'm finding more power. Oh, then yes, I am learning. Yes, I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Yes, I am learning. Yes, I'm learning to lean. Every day now I am learning. Yes, I'm learning to lean. Yes, I'm learning. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Yes, I am finding. I'm finding more power than I ever dreamed. Yes, I'm learning to lean on Jesus.
Let the church say amen again. King David in Psalms 34 and 8 invites all of us to oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. We're so thankful to be here today, and we're thankful to Almighty God for his wonderful and bountiful blessings that he has bestowed upon us all week long. Amen. We are just happy to be here, and I'm thankful for your prayers as we made it into Richmond this week. And, of course, I said on yesterday that we had a closing, and we're thankful to God to be able to close and to have the keys. I got some new keys. It's been a while since I've got some new keys. And we're just so thankful to be able to close. And my left hand is sore from signing. You know, you sign when you close. Look like they had a stack of papers that thick to close. But we've got it done. And we've even drove my truck so I could bring a little U-Haul to even get started. I bought enough furniture where at least I can sleep in the house and get started. Amen. And as I was walking out the door, my wife said, "You forgot the pillows and the sheets." I said, "Oh, wow, okay." And threw them on in the car. I didn't want to sleep on a naked mattress. And so she wanted to make sure I had everything that I needed. As a matter of fact, my wife, she sends her greetings to all of you. And by God's grace, we'll be back here permanently in about 2 weeks. Give and take, room for error. Amen. Always give and take room for some error. Amen. And we just thank you. And it is truly an honor to be able to be asked to be here and to come on board as your minister. And I know that I'm stepping into a church that is a healthy church, because anytime you have a minister, one minister that's been here as long as Brother Brown, you know that you have a healthy church. And it is an honor and certainly a privilege to be able to be the second minister of this church. And I'm just thankful to God and still in shock, as a matter of fact, that God have brought me full circle. Full circle. And it's just so wonderful to see those who I started with, and they're still working in the Lord. I want to say to Sister Green that I'm sure that this church is continuing to pray for you and to care for you and to love you in the absence of Brother Green. And the Bible insists that we love not in word only, but indeed as well. And you know our hearts are with you, and you know we love you, and you know that we care for you, and we'll help you to get through your loss. I got a text from my daughter, and her last name is not Hutchinson anymore. I tease her sometimes, what's your last name? Williams. And she sent me a text, and I'll read it for you. She insisted that I watch Lauren Brown, Look Into Thee, on YouTube, and sent a link to the YouTube. And she said, you all are going to have some good church services. And you deserve it, though. Proud of you, Daddy. Have a safe trip tomorrow. And so she is presently still living in Metropolis, but we had a private wedding for her. His parents, Madre and I, and we did the marriage ceremony. I had an opportunity to do that for her, but they're going to have the big deal in April. And so I've been warned to let the church know in advance that I need to be in Alabama in April for this ceremony that she is going to have. So you all pray for them and pray for my wife and pray for her as she continues to gain courage to making the transition here. And the more I tell her about the benefits of being here, the more excited she becomes. But I want to acknowledge this morning, once again, Brother and Sister Brown, for their longevity and for their steadfastness and for their dedication and tremendous amount of sacrifice. If it doesn't hurt, it's not a sacrifice. And I'm just so thankful for them, for the work that they have done and is doing to and for the body of Christ that assembles at this location. This morning, I want to call your attention to 1 Samuel chapter 21. And we appreciate Brother Burton and Brother Lauren this morning singing the song, Learning to Lean. And I want to use as a title, if I could, Learning to Lean. And the reason why I said learning to lean, because it is a learning process. It is a process to learn to lean solely upon God. And I want to use as a principal character this morning, King David. And perhaps King David might not have learned that lesson quick enough for God's choosing. And the Lord taught David how to lean solely upon him. When we read our scriptural text, we find such a tremendous and proud king, David. We find him in his state of mind that suggests somehow, perhaps, that he was learning to lean solely upon the Lord. In 1 Samuel chapter 21, beginning at verse 10, the Bible proclaims, "And David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul, and went to Achish, who was the king of Gath," and that's in the Philistine territory. "And the servants of Achish said unto him, Is this not David the king of the land? He said, Did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul hath slain him thousands, and David 10,000s. And David laid up these words in his heart. He began to think about what is going on, because he was running from Saul. And he was so afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. Why? Because David is the one that killed the 9-foot, some say 10-foot, Philistine giant. And they never forgot about what David had done. And so David began to fear for his life. And as a result, in verse 13, David began to change, the Bible says, he changed his behavior before them and feigned himself mad or fake like he was crazy in their hands. And he was doing things like scrambling on the wall. He was putting graffiti on the doors of the gate, and he allowed his spittle to fall down upon his beard. Then said Achish unto his servant, lo, ye see this man is mad. He's crazy. He's crazy. And he said, wherefore then have you brought him to me? Why have you brought this crazy man in my presence? Because perhaps the king was considering to have David on his side. What a good warrior to have on the side of King Achish. But then he said, I have no need of a madman that you have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence. And shall this fellow come into my house? And so we find David in a state of despair. We find David here in a state of brokenness. We find David, the sweet singer of Israel, the giant killer, who would be king of Israel, acting like a madman. Here's a man who had thrown away all of his self-respect to the wind. He's a man who seemed to appear to have hit rock bottom in his life. And what brought David to the point of his life? The answer is this. You see, every one of us leans on someone or something to help us to get through this life. You know, that's God's design. That's God's design. He designed it like that, and especially the church. And we all have what I call a well-developed system put in place, because we depend on people and on things in our life to help us to make it through every day. In fact, we are guilty of leaning on our support group more heavily and more often than we lean upon the Lord. But God did not save us so we can rest ourselves on other people and on other things. God saved us to walk in absolute, utter dependence upon Him. And He sees us leaning. He sees His children leaning on everyone else and everything else but Him. We cannot count on, but we can count on His teaching to us. And He's teaching us this lesson this morning so we might learn to lean upon Him. You know, I see this principle working in King David's life. And I want to show you how David was taught to lean solely upon the Lord. You see, learning isn't bad as long as we learn to lean on the right one. I want to make our time today and preach on the thought, learning to lean. I know what it means, and I had to learn what it meant to lean upon the Lord. It is a lesson, I believe, that God needs to teach all of His true warriors in the body of Christ. Because it's something that don't come natural, but of course we should be walking supernatural. First of all, let me point out the fact that David had a wonderful support group, just like many of us. David's system was developed. First of all, we know that God in His grace, what He did, he placed some things in David's life to be a support system for King David. First of all, David learned to lean on the support of his position. He was king. And according to 1 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 13, in the middle of that verse, the Bible says, "And then Saul removed him from him and made him," or David, "his captain over a thousand." So David had authority. He had a position as captain over many people, especially men. And so David's work gave him stability in his life, like our work gives us stability. And David needed that. He needed a position. He needed that in order to help develop his system of support. Not only that, but David had support of popularity. We find in 1 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 13, "But all of Israel and Judah, they loved David." David was popular. David was the man. And we all know, even today, even in this country, that people who have a lot of popularity have a lot of access. They got a lot of people to lean on. We've seen it when those who in Hollywood, when they get in trouble, how they get lenient sentences. And if you are popular, extremely popular, most of the time you get the key to the city. You don't have to pay for anything. You go in a restaurant, everything is free. You go in the movie house, you can watch the movie for free. And so popularity has its perks and has its advantages. And certainly David leaned on the support of popularity. Who are you? I'm David. And also, not only that, but David also leaned and had a support group with people. We find, first of all, David's wife. In 1 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 20, that was Michelle's, who was Saul's daughter. She loved David. Of course, and they got married. And so David had a wonderful wife named Michelle. She was very supportive of David. And so that was a support group for David. David could lean on his wife. He could depend on her. And David knew that she genuinely loved him. Not only his wife, but we all know the story of Prince Jonathan and how David and Jonathan's friendship was a wonderful friendship, so much characterized that it was placed in the Bible. And God tells us about this wonderful friendship between David and between Jonathan. And the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 1, "And it came to pass that when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, and the son of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul." So David, again, had a wonderful friendship with Jonathan. He had a support group, and he leaned on Jonathan many times, especially in his flight from the king Saul, and used Jonathan as a wonderful support group. David also had a wonderful support group in the prophet Samuel. And they had a wonderful relationship, and Samuel was the prophet that anointed David with oil. And the Bible says, "And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David, and from that day forward," that's 1 Samuel chapter 16 for note takers, and verse 13. And so this old prophet was a support group for David. And Samuel taught David all he needed to know about the church. Amen. He taught him how he ought to behave himself in the house of the Lord. And so David had a wonderful relationship with the preacher man. Also, David also leaned on his pride. David, the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 15, "Wherefore when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him." In other words, David took pride in his life. We're talking about the good pride. We're not talking about too much pride. Amen. We're talking about the pride that folks should have for themselves, the self-respect, the self-control, and the self-esteem. And so David was a man who had pride, and you know, and we ought to stop and thank the Lord for our support group. Amen. We ought to stop and thank the Lord that we got someone that we can lean on, that we can lean on our wives and lean on our husbands and lean on our siblings and lean on our position at work and lean on, have a support group when it comes to friends and when it comes to all of those, and even in the church, we got a support group. And we need to stop sometime and thank the Lord for the people that's in our lives and for the props that God has placed in our lives. And you know, where would we be without the love and support of our spouses? Where would we be without the encouragement of our friends? Where would we be without the fellowship and the encouragement of the church? Where would we be without the guidance and direction given to us from God's word? Where would we be without the benefit of all these safety nets that God has placed in our life to help us to make it from day to day? But what God did with David had to learn to lean on the Lord. And I believe that the best learning we get is when we go through something. When everything is good, we might forget. But we don't forget about them difficult times. And we learn. That's when we learn the most. That's when we're more focused and pay attention when we're going through something. When things are not so good. And so God began to dismantle David's support group. We find the Bible that God allowed a series of events to take place in David's life that destroyed and removed every single prop that David had in his support group. We find in 1 Samuel chapter 20 and verse 3 the state of mind that David had. And at the end of that verse, he said, David said, I am a step between me. There's only one step between me and death. David is in depression. He's in a, someone once called a New York state of mind. David lost his position according to 1 Samuel chapter 19 and verse 10. And that's when Saul was after David. And the Bible says, and Saul sought to smite or kill David, even to the wall with the javelin. But David slipped out of Saul's presence, and he smote the javelin to the wall. And David fled and escaped by night. So David lost his position that Saul had given him. David also lost another support group, which was popularity. We find here that people had probably assumed that Saul would be successful in his attempt to take David's life. And so there, David lost his popularity. He also lost the people that was in his life. He lost his wife in 1 Samuel chapter 19 and verse 17. And the Bible says that she had to kind of lie to her father and so forth. And this great harmonious relationship between David and Michelle, and his wife, was lost and never regained again. David lost this support group. He lost the support of Jonathan. And the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 20 and verse 41, and as soon as the lad was gone, David arose out of the place of the south and fell on his face to the ground and bowed himself three times, and they kissed one another and wept with one another until David exceeded. In other words, Jonathan go as far as he could to protect David. There's still a tearful parting, according to the scripture, with these friends, and they departed. Still, another support group is removed from David's life. And David fled from the presence of Samuel because of the relentless pursuit of King Saul. So here, another person in David's life that he had lost. And then in 1 Samuel chapter 21 in our text, we see that David had lost his pride. Here, King David, a man of self-respect, self-esteem, now acting like a crazy man. in the text, scribbling on the walls, spittle coming down from his beard. And the reason why David began to act crazy is because in those days it was thought that the God would punish you if you did something bad to people who had lost their mind. Amen. And so David fell into that category. So perhaps he thought that this was a way he could save his own life. But we see all of those things that was a support group in David's life, they had vanished. What is the purpose of God dismantling these support groups in David's life? God did it for one reason and for one reason only. So David could learn to lean solely upon the Lord. God didn't want him to lean on these other props. He didn't want David to lean on his wife, to lean on his position, to lean on his popularity, to lean on the preacher man. He didn't want any of that. God wanted David to learn to lean solely upon him. Because he wanted to teach David the great truth that all of us need to learn is to how to lean and rely solely upon the Lord. God systematically removed the support group one after another from David's life until David began to lean solely upon the Lord. You know, when we, you know, Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus temptation, and the Bible says, and the Spirit drives Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. You know, Jesus also taught us how to learn to lean solely upon the Lord. The Bible says Jesus had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and the scientist tells us that after 40 days of hunger, that your body began to eat itself. And the Bible says, and Satan didn't wait until Jesus was right there near longhorns. He waited till Jesus was as hungry as a human being could get. And then he came to Jesus and tempted Jesus to make those little brown stones look like brown bread. Jesus says, you know what reply Jesus said, didn't you? He said, he quoted scripture, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Jesus says, I'm not going to lean on these bread. I can make those stones bread if I wanted to. But he said, no. He said, when God is ready for me to eat, come on somebody. Amen. I'll eat. He learned how to lean upon the Lord. And he showed us by example how to live this Christian life leaning solely upon the Lord. We got to learn. That's a learning process. Jesus and went on with the other temptations, and all of them said the same thing. He kept saying, it is written, it is written, it is written. In other words, I don't care what you say, I'm learning to lean on God. Because when God is ready to rescue me, he'll do it. Amen. I'm learning to lean upon the Lord. We learn to lean on our parents, and that's good. Thank God. I heard yesterday that Brother Green was adopted, and it was difficult for me as a young man. But of course, I didn't know no better. I didn't know the difference. I didn't know that we were doing bad. Amen. As far as I was concerned, as a kid, everything was all right. I thought it was normal to fight over the cookbook. I didn't know. Give me my pie. That's my spaghetti. I didn't know, but I didn't have the luxury of. I never had the luxury of saying good morning, mother. Never had the luxury of saying good morning, dad. And so I know how it feels personally to be able to have these support groups, because I lean on my aunt and my uncle and my grandmothers. Thank God for teachers Thank God for friends. Thank God for money. Thank God for jobs. And we learn to lean on these things as a support group. And our system can be developed to the place where it can take the place of God in our lives. That's why Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10, fear thou not. God said, fear thou not. He said, I am with thee. Don't be afraid because I'm with you. It might look dim. It might look like you're losing. It might look like things are negative, but don't worry. I'm with you. Be not dismayed. Don't be discouraged. For I am thy God. He says, I will strengthen you. I will strengthen you. Notice he kept saying, I. He said, I'm with you. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold thee from the right hand of righteousness. God says, I am going to do it. We've got to learn, church, to lean on the Lord. I was reminded yesterday about learning to lean on God. I didn't know how I was going to get to Texas, or I found out. I didn't know how I was going to get back home if they rejected my application. I didn't know how I was going to pay for my education. Amen. I didn't know how I was going to do a lot of things. Amen. I didn't know how. And I had to learn to lean on the Lord. Didn't have too many friends when I first got there to Texas. Didn't have no money when I got there to Texas. Didn't have any school books when I got there to Texas. I had moved away from my family, from my friends, from my acquaintance, from the church that I've ever known. And I had to learn to lean on the Lord. And I did it because I kept doing what the Lord told me to do. Amen. I remember just as plainly I was trying to cut a little hair, make a little extra money. I won't charge it but $2. Amen. And that was only for brothers who had a little hair. And you come in there with this big afro now. Come on now. You will have to give a brother a tip. Amen. You've got to give a brother all that hair. And I remember that week I had made $6. And it was just enough to do my little laundry. But I made sure that I gave God his. Amen. I made sure that I gave God his. Amen. And I've been giving God his. Matter of fact, I gave God his this morning. Amen. Always keep a blank check. Always keep a blank check in your wallet. Amen. Always keep a blank check in your wallet. Amen. And so I just went in my wallet and got the blank check and wrote that check. Amen. Always keep a blank check. You never know when you want to give to the Lord. And so we have to learn how to lean on the Lord. Now, in my closing, I want you to know from this experience, David wrote Psalms 34. I want you to, when you go home, read Psalms 34, but let me give you just a little indication of what the outline in Psalms 34 says, and many say Psalms 56 as well. But David wrote this psalm out of his own experience, out of having it all and then losing it all. And because he lost it all, David learned that he had to lean upon the Lord. You know, sometimes we don't know that God is all we need until God is all we have. I think I said it again. Sometimes we don't know that God is all we need until God is all we have. Amen. God was the only thing that David had left. Amen. David, all of David's props, all of his systems had fled away. And David learned how to lean solely upon the Lord. And I believe that's a good lesson for each and every one of us. You know, thank God for my wife, but I cannot solely depend on my wife. Amen. Because there's always room for error. Anytime you're dealing with human beings, there's always room for error. Lean upon that. Thank God for transportation. But we cannot rely solely upon our automobiles. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You can park it and all the lights, everything working, and you can start it up the next day and you got lights everywhere. Amen. I had a flashing light on my truck this morning talking about low air, low air, low air. And it just keep on telling you that until you get, amen. And so I had to learn how to lean solely upon the Lord. So I got out and I looked at the tire. Well, it looked good. It was only 1 pound of air missing. And so I said, Lord, get me there. Lord, get me there. Amen. And so I had to learn how to lean on the Lord. But in Psalms 34, as I close, David learned to lean on God's protection in verse 4 through verse 7. David wrote about leaning on God's provision in verse 8 through verse 10. Even in Psalms 37 and 25, listen to what David said. He said, I've been young, I've been old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor the seed begging bread. David said in verse 11 and through verse 17 of Psalms 34, he learned to lean on God's promises. And then in verse 18, David learned to lean on God's presence. You know, church, God will bring us to a place where we learn to lean on Him and lean on Him alone. I thought that would be a good message for us because, you know, this life can be a good life, but it also can be a very disturbing life. And sometimes, even though people are wonderful and great, but sometimes they just can't come through for us. And I know we have to learn how to lean solely, independently on God. That's why it's good to keep our prayer life intact. That's why it's good to keep our fellowship with God intact. That's why it's good for us to stay in the presence of God. Amen. Because that's where all the power for us to overcome our temptations and our trials in the presence of God. There is a story that I didn't say on yesterday. I wanted to say it today. And as I close this message, there was a little boy who every day when he came from school to go home, he would cut through the graveyard. And this old fellow, he was retired. He just sat on the porch and watched everything that happened. And he noticed on a daily basis, this little boy, when he came from school, and he knew he was coming from school because he had a little school book with him, he would cut through the graveyard. And so he finally got up the courage to ask this little boy. He said, son, where are you going every day when you cut through the graveyard? The little boy said, well, I live on the other side of the graveyard. So the old man said, son, isn't it another way you can get home? The little boy replied, no, sir. That's the only way I can get home. And so, Sister Green, don't worry this morning. That was the only way Brother Green could go home. There's only one way to get home. We all got to cut through the graveyard. That's the only way home. And so, we don't know when our time shall come. So I believe in always being ready. I used to work for a company here in Richmond called Centric Services. And I finally made it to lead person. And I think I probably would have made it to supervisor, but they needed a supervisor to go down into part of Virginia where they had another part of the warehouse. But they were having some problems there. And so what they did, they chose this other big guy, his name Bob McKeever. And he was built like Hulk. And they thought that if they sent me, little man, that they would probably challenge me. Yeah, they were having riots and everything. So they thought that they would send this big fella, who his sight, he was very intimidating. Yeah, big Bob McKeever. And so he made it to supervisor as a result of that. But, you know, I would have liked to made supervisor, but I settled for whatever position that I could get. And I said that to say that, you know, we have to learn how to solely depend on God. And one of the things I brought to the company, every year we would get ready for visitors. And the big wheels would come down to inspect the place. And we would work all this overtime of people straightening up stuff, getting stuff ready, polishing stuff, and all of these type of things. And I told him, I said, look, why don't we just stay ready? Why work all this overtime? Why pay us all this money? We should stay ready anyway. We should always have a clean warehouse. The floor should always be shiny. The legs should always be in order. And I brought that same concept. And God tells us the same thing. Amen. Don't wait until everything in your life is all chaotic to try to get right with the Lord. Amen. I know I'm talking to somebody this morning. I know I'm talking to somebody. Why not just stay right? Amen. Why not just stay right? Why not just keep it right all the time? And then when you're ready to use it, amen. I tell my wife all the time, I make sure I keep all the cars full of gas. Because if something happens and an emergency comes, I don't have time to stop by the gas station and get some gas. I keep gas in it, and so we can go on where we want to go. I try to keep enough gas, at least we can go 400 miles. Amen. If we got a problem past 400 miles, we got a problem. Amen. A big problem. And so I try to stay ready. Try to stay ready. That's a good concept when it comes to Christians. We need to stay ready. And so if you're here, you need to get ready by becoming a child of God. A lot of people say there's a lot of different ways you can become a child of God. But biblically, there's only one way. One must first hear about God's word. Hear about what Christ has done for us. Hear about the saving grace of Jesus and how God started from the very beginning of the book of Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15 all the way to the book of Revelation. The central figure is Jesus. The Bible says, for grace hath appeared unto all men. Teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live righteously and soberly in this present world. It's all about Jesus. Amen. You got to believe that he is the one who brought salvation unto men. Believe it with all of your heart. And that belief brings repentance, brings confession. And you know what confession means? It's not only I confess that Jesus is Lord and that he is the Savior of the world, but confession also means I'm going to follow Jesus all the days of my life. I'm going to allow him not only to be Savior, but I'm going to allow him to be the Lord of my life as well. We need to hear that, believe it, repent, confess, and to be baptized for the remission of our sins. That's right, we need to go to the graveyard. Amen. We need to go die. Because we cannot become something else unless the old thing is gone. And so we need to die. The Lord would add you to his church. And those of us who are Christians, we need to stay ready. Stay ready. Stay ready. Stay in fellowship. Stay in the presence of God. So we can receive all the blessing. Amen. All of the blessing that God wants to bestow in our lives. All of us have a role in the body of Christ. And we got to stay ready in order to receive that goal, or in order to achieve that goal. And so if you're here today, we have to learn how to lean solely upon the Lord. Thank God for my wife, but she might not be here tomorrow. she won't be a support group. Thank God for my daughter. Thank God for the friend and the other church. Thank God for all of those things. But we have to learn how to lean solely upon the Lord. If you hear this morning, if you hear, and this message has been a blessing to you, we ask that you please give the responsible response as we together stand, sing the song of invitation.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, I'm leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, I'm leaning.